As you're aware, In His Footsteps is our theme, as we have our pictures, to be walking in Jesus' footsteps. And today's topic is strange teaching. Strange teaching. And we're still sitting in John chapter 6, and believe it or not, we've been there for a month in John chapter 6. We've looked at the progression of Jesus traveling through different parts of John 6. We read about him up on the mountain feeding the 5,000, and people coming for his teaching. Remember, he tried to get away. He was tired. He'd heard about his cousin John the Baptist who'd been killed, and then he's tried to find a quiet place. All these people came. They wanted to have teaching. He taught. They needed food. He broke the bread, and he fed them. And then directly after that, we find him walking on the water, and the disciples being out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the wind and the waves coming, and the weight of him now walking and calling out who he is. And then we'll move to John 6. But before I go there, the title is Strange Teachings. We live in a world that looks at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if they don't get it, we'll say that's very strange. How can God, the creator of the universe, come to us as another person, as a human being? And why would this God of the universe come as a human being and be born in a very poor situation? And why would this God of the universe walk around with us and talk with us and want to be like us and then allow himself to be killed and put on a cross? And then we see the twist where he comes back to life again. Many would say this is a strange teaching. I've been affected by strange teaching, Helen and I, some years ago when we were running a campsite. I had a very good friend, well, a friend who was our plumber friend, and he joined a cult. And he would invite us to this cult group. There was a group of about 80 or 90 living on his property. He gave his property, he had about 10 acres or something like that. He gave his property to this cult. And he would invite us on Friday nights, Helen and I and the kids, to come around to be with them, with this cult group. The thing is, we really liked going there. It was really cool. It was this whole group, and they would cook the best fish on this barbecued fire and other meats, and at night they would dance and we would join in, and they'd have all this music with violins and other things, real Israeli type dancing. And I would say to Helen, and we go, this is really good. I can see why people would be part of this. But we knew it was a cult. And I didn't know my Bible well enough to actually say this is strange teaching, because I'm really enjoying being part of this. And then we could see a little bit through the cracks and say, yeah, it was a bit strange. Our kids were allowed to run around and be free because we weren't part of the group, but all their kids had to sit in the corner quietly. And they would make their own clothes and they make their own food, and they'd have to give all their money that they had into this cult group, and nobody had money. They all shared it together. It was this communal sort of situation. And it was confusing to me because I really liked being part of this group, but I knew it was not right. So I had to go to Bible college to figure out what my theology was. It's not a bad thing to sit in it and go, well, what is right? What is wrong? How does it work? What is the teaching? What does the teaching mean for me? What is right in my understanding? Now, to cut a long story short, you will find that cult group in a 60 Minutes thing further down the line. If you ever want to know more, you can talk to me more about it. But it ended up in a very tragic situation. So as much as you can present a good teaching or think it's a good teaching, when it's in a bad environment or a cultish group, things will go wrong. John 6, why am I bringing this? Because there's a whole conversation in John 6 that takes place. And for many of us, we'll say, this is a strange teaching. So what's Jesus trying to tell us in all of this as we go through it? John 6, 25 is where we pick up. When they found him on the other side of the lake, in other words, Jesus had walked across the lake, got in the boat, the disciples are there, and they got to the other side, and all the people were looking around, Rabbi or teacher, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, well, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Because I want to read this and go through this conversation that's taking place. You're looking for me, Jesus says, not because you saw the signs. The signs were incredible, you know, miracles. Not because of the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. What is Jesus saying here? You ate the loaves and had your fill. You ate the bread and had your fill. Your stomach's full. You like what I'm doing. You like what I'm feeding here. I'm giving you something. This food, this bread. So do not work for food that spoils. In other words, you're thinking of bread being something that's filling you, but there's more. But for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So look for food, not just to fill the belly. You need food that's going to give you or endure to eternal life. Then they asked him, look at this question. What must we do to do the works God requires? What must we do to do the works God requires? It's a good question, isn't it? What do we do to have God's approval? What is it? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So the work is not going out working, like digging the gardens or you know, building houses or anything like that. The work is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. So we're trying to build this thing. So what work must you do? You need to believe in the one he sent. So they asked him, well, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? Now they're asking for a sign again. What will you do? Jesus presents this argument. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. God gave them bread from heaven to eat. God provided. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. Because the Jewish people, they'll look at Moses. Moses was the one he organized, you know, taking him out and doing all this. No, it's not from Moses, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread that comes from heaven comes down and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. It's almost a simple comment. Yeah, always give us this bread. That's the one we want. There's a nurturing. We want this understanding of eternal life. We want this, whatever you've got that's going to fill us and infill us, we want that. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. In other words, Jesus, I am the sustaining one. I am sustaining you here. But you look at me and you still don't believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. There's a beautiful promise, isn't there? Jesus is not driving us away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I want you to see that again, Jesus' obedience. He's come to sustain us, but he's doing it because the will of the Father has sent him. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. That I shall lose none of those. Jesus wants none to be lost. God the Father wants none to be lost. He's going to raise us up in the last days. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Amen? We know that in 3:16, don't we? But now we're reading it in 6:40. Whoever looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Looking to Jesus will give you that place. What is the works? To look to Jesus for that eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him. Here we go. The grumbling's coming in again. To grumble in because he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So how do they justify that? Well, we know his family, don't we? They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Logical argument. I know his parents. I know his family. Didn't look so closely at his birth and everything, all the miraculous that went around all that. How can he say, I came from heaven? Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Are you reading this? I know this is a long conversation. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. You and I have been drawn to Jesus, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God, and everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Learning from God the Father will come to me to understand who Jesus is. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Amen. Remember, this is Jesus' argument. Where is he? He's actually in a synagogue in Capernaum, teaching in a Jewish synagogue, teaching about himself. Again, he says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. Wasn't it sustenance from God? God gave him 40 years in the desert, 40 years of this bread coming down. God was sustaining them for 40 years. And Jesus is now saying, well, that manna in the wilderness, that was great, but they still died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Sustenance through Jesus. Jesus is presenting something special about him being the bread of life that will sustain us. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Listen to this conversation that keeps going. Jesus is teaching in this synagogue. He keeps talking about him. I am the sustainer. I am the bread. I am the one. What for? For eternal life. I'm coming to feed you something so incredible. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Uh-oh, he's transitioning in now. Talking from the bread to the bread. Now this is where the strange teaching starts coming in. Hang on. This is where his disciples' ears are saying, "Oh, Jesus, you're not going to do that one, are you? You're not going to talk about your blood and your flesh, are you? Oh, Jesus, we've got this big crowd here. We're doing well. And now you're going to talk about something that makes us a little bit uncomfortable." The strange teaching coming in. And then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" This is why I'm bringing this strange teaching thing. What's going on? What's going on? And then Jesus says to them, "Well, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Oh, the disciples all went, "Oh, no, he said it. We had a crowd. Oh, no, he said it. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink." Oh, Jesus, why did you say that? You can imagine the thinking going on. Now, Jesus is using this, you know, as an analogy for his body broken, the blood poured out. We have the wonderful Bible parts that we can read it as hindsight. Imagine them sitting in the room at this moment going, "What are you talking? Why are you doing? Why are you saying this?" But he's really talking about that sustenance that gives us a place of eternal life, understanding. "So whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live forever because of me." It's a strange teaching. It's a hard teaching to understand. In 58, it says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven." Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. "Your ancestors ate the manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while he's teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Feed on the bread forever. Then on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "Well, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Do you blame them? Not at all. Not fully understanding what Jesus is talking about and where he's going with it. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? I got to tell you, there's moments in Scripture where Jesus really stirs them up. Can I just say that? You know, times we see Jesus meek and mild and you know, this Jesus is a stirrer. He stirs them up because he challenges thinking. He challenges status quo. He challenges religious thinking. He challenges our platform. And he does that individually to each one of us. If we're not challenged by the Scripture, we're not reading it right. We need to be challenged by it to understand our theology. You know, I talked about going to the cult. I needed to be challenged by it to understand my own theology. Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Now, Jesus is talking about his glory. Imagine if you saw me in glory. This teaching means nothing anymore. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." Now look at this in verse 66. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." This is what I really like about the Bible at times. If you were trying to promote Jesus, if you were trying to promote something special about him, you wouldn't write "many walked away from him" at this moment, would you? Unless it was true. Writing this down. It's very interesting. This is just a side note. If you look at John 6:66, the Antichrist leaving Jesus behind, you can leave that in a side note on the side. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. This is his closest disciples, watched all the miracles, heard the teaching. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus is stirring them up too. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where else shall we go? In other words, we're confused too, but where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what we want. You sustain us for eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. All this conversation about bread. Strange teachings. Trying to understand it. Now, for you and I, the beauty of understanding communion knows that Jesus' body broken is the bread that sustains us. And his blood poured out is the forgiveness of sins. I know we're not doing communion now, but just speaking that and that understanding, imagine these guys at this time trying to understand what's his teaching all about. He's trying to bring that into an understanding. It was a strange teaching. It was a hard teaching, but it was a truth teaching that Jesus was presenting. Jesus was more interested in telling the truth and helping them understand that he is the bread from heaven. He is the sustenance that we have. He's the bread of life. Bread was so often given as a place to live. If you didn't have bread, you would be starving, or you'd be hungry, or there'd be no crops coming through. There would be no harvest. But bread was a transformative thing of blessing and understanding. And God taking them through the desert for 40 years, sustaining that manna, always sustaining them with the bread. Jesus is the sustenance to give you an understanding of the blessings, he coming from heaven as the sustenance for each one of us. Him, Jesus, is what we can live on. Now, I want to talk to you about a strange teaching. A strange teaching. I'm going to read this out, and I want you to think for a moment how this works and how we live in a world of strange teaching for our own journey. This parable has circulated around the internet over the last couple of years in different forms. According to Wayne Dyer, the original story was told by Henry Nouwen. And however, it appears that all of these mini versions have been adapted from the writings of Pablo Molinero. So it goes back to two twins, or a twin set of twins in utero. What would be the conversation of a set of twins in utero? Move over. There's not enough room. Okay, you're hogging the left side of the right side. Why did you write your name on the wall and not mine? I don't know. All right. In a mother's womb with two babies, the first baby asked the other, do you believe in life after delivery? The second baby replied, why? Of course, there has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what will be later. Nonsense, says the first. There is no life after delivery. What would that life be like? Well, I don't know, but there will be more light than in here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat from our mouths. The doubting baby laughed. That's absurd. Walking is impossible. And eat with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition. Life after delivery is to be excluded. The umbilical cord is too short. The second baby held his ground. I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is in here. The first baby replied, no one has ever come back from there. Delivery is the end of life. And in the after delivery, it's nothing but darkness and anxiety, and it takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, said the twin, but certainly we will see Mother, and she will take care of us. Mother, the first baby gawked. You believe in Mother? Where is she now? The second baby calmly and patiently tried to explain. She's all around us. It's in her that we live. Without her, there would not be this world. Ha! I don't see her, so it's only logical that she doesn't exist. To which the other replied, sometimes when you're in silence, you can hear her, you can perceive her. I believe there is a reality, and after delivery, and we are here to prepare ourselves for that reality when it comes. How do you like that story? Two babies in utero. That conversation. Life after delivery? No, it can't be. Don't we live in that world? Is there life after death? Yes, no. How can there be? Where is God if we can't feel him or see him or touch him, you know? Or life is just what we have right now and that's it. This whole conversation. We all survived delivery sitting in this room, not knowing what's next. Jesus is giving us an answer. Jesus is giving us an answer that there is life after death. And not only is there life after death, he's saying it's an eternal life after death. As the mother's umbilical cord is the sustainer for these babies, Jesus is saying he is the bread of life. He is the sustainer for each one of us to be sustained, to be nurtured, to have that life after death place. The breaking of the bread, the symbolism that took place. We read of Jesus rising from the dead after Easter. Last weekend we had Easter. We have these men walking the Emmaus Road. And they're talking with Jesus and not even recognizing that Jesus is with them. And they're walking and having this whole conversation about what's taken place, the confusion of him dying. They all thought he was a great prophet, the whole conversation. Then we read in Luke 22:30, it says this, when he was at the table with them. So they've walked all the way to this place where they've asked him to come and spend some time, eat a meal with him. When he came to the table, he took the bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And listen to what they say when Jesus broke that bread. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Jesus, the bread of life, is the sustenance, is the sustainer, is the hope, is the excitement. He broke the bread again, showing as he breaks the bread, I am the bread of life. I am the one who is to give us this sustenance. Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us? Our hearts should be burning within us when we read and understand who he is and what he's done for each of us personally. We saw Easter last weekend. Friday, he goes to the cross. Sunday, he rises again. This should be an incredible moment for each one of us personally. And if you read the Bible or read that about Jesus dying and rising and feel nothing in your heart, what has gone wrong? Because that is so incredible, the sustaining of yourself. And Jesus has come to give us that sustenance. But we live in a very strange world. In Isaiah 59:14, it says, our courts oppose the righteous and justice is nowhere to be found Truth stumbles in the streets and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. Dennis came up and talked about that today. Jesus, who gives us that eternal perspective and that understanding of life, and he is here to sustain us, and yet the world around us is trying to stop us from carrying the light of Jesus, is trying to stop us getting excited about what he's done on the cross and what he has done for our future when he's risen from the dead. People want to sit in a world of evil and prefer that more than understanding that Jesus is the sustainer of life. So he asks you and I to walk in his footsteps. To walk in his footsteps. He's calling us to walk in his footsteps to understand that he is a sustainer for us. That many around will call us as Christians having strange teaching. But the teaching that he gives us sustains us and gives us joy and hope. So he says, learn from me. He says, live the life that is sustained by him and lead others to that understanding. Let's pray and thank him for what he has done. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life that's come down from heaven. For 40 years in the desert, Lord God, you sustained the Israelites by food every morning, but they still died because it was only for the belly. Jesus, you have died. Your bread is for life for each one of us, continuously nurturing, continuously giving us hope, continually giving us an understanding that there is life after death, that you sustain us here and now, and that your message is powerful and mighty. There is evil around us. There is things that are not right. Darkness is trying to control and overpower. We ask, Lord Jesus, for more of your sustenance, more of who you are in our own lives, and let us read your word and your truth and be excited about what it's all about. So, Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us if we doubt. Forgive us for the moments where we get anxious about the things of the world around us. Forgive us when we look more about in ourselves and not looking to you, the great sustainer. Help us in this week ahead once again to see who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.